Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our meditations on Jesus of the Gospels. We have been analyzing the Sermon on the Mount reported by Matthew. And we have been studying what is called usually the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes we have seen presents a summary of Jesus' teaching. And we have already analyzed two of those Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who weep, for they'll be comforted. Today, we want to focus our attention on the third Beatitude, which is given in Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Such a beatitude is not present in the list given by Luke in chapter 6. In fact, this beatitude seems to be a formulation by the evangelist himself. That's what many an exegete would say. It's an adapted version of the first beatitude. And this adaptation has taken place in the light of a psalm. Psalm 37, verse 11. We read, "The meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity." The entire psalm is a contrast between the just and the unjust, the wicked and the righteous. Exhortation to be patient and to trust in God. So two ways are presented, the ways of the wicked and the ways of the just. And the ways of the just is, in this particular verse, is presented as that of a meek. The meek shall inherit the land. In contrast, verse 9 and 10, the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. So the wicked will not last for long. He will perish. But the meek shall inherit the land. Twice the psalmist say, those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. The meek shall inherit the land. So the beatitude in Matthew seems to hark back to this particular psalm. The meek shall inherit the land. So this beatitude comes from the entire Old Testament tradition and also comes from Jesus' teaching. When Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, and when he says, blessed are the meek, these two seem to highlight the same aspect. In fact, the beatitude is looking at the discipleship and looking at what God is giving from various angles. It's not various gifts that God is giving. These are not different people who are called blessed. Various aspects of Christian discipleship, various aspects of God's gift of his kingdom, that is being presented in the various formulations of this beatitude. Blessed are the meek. Who are the meek? We see in Jesus himself a model, an example of this meekness. Well, he himself tells us. It is again Matthew who reports these verses. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, we read, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." Learn from me because I am gentle and humble in heart. This is the same word, meek. Meek and gentle. Gentle, humble in heart. In Greek, we have the word praus. In fact, The Greek Gospel of Matthew used the word praus. But the background of in the Septuagint, in verse 11 of Psalm 37, the word used is not praus, but thokos. Thokos is translated as poor. It is the same word that is used in the first beatitude, thokos, the poor. The poor in spirit is the same as the meek, the gentle. Jesus presents himself as the meek and gentle or humble of heart. And from his attitude, from his dealings, we understand what this meekness means. First of all, we find Jesus as an approachable person. Anybody could approach him. He did not intimidate. His presence was not intimidating. Any child could come to him. The mothers were so happy to bring their children to Jesus that he may take them in his hands, carry them, bless them. So the salvific touch of God was being presented through Jesus. Anybody could come to him. Anybody could touch him, approach him. So much so that once he complained that people were pushing him from all around, it was when Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched my cloth?" Peter was telling, "Lord, what are you saying? People are squeezing you from all around. Then how can you say that somebody touched your cloth?" Everybody wanted to touch him because somehow power went out of him. And he knew that power was going out. He allowed people to flock around him. Children, women, sick people, and also people with contagious diseases, so supposed to be contaminating others. For example, lepers came to him. It is Mark who reports, and the other evangelists take up the report. A leper came to him, knelt before him, and told him, "Master, if you wish, you can make me heal. You can make me whole. You can heal me. You can cleanse me." The leper did not fear to come near Jesus. The sinners could approach him. Even in a banquet hall, a public sinner dared to come and kneel down before Jesus, weep at his feet, wash his feet with her tears. So meek was Jesus. He did not chase people away from him. It was the disciples who wanted to chase keep the people away. Then Jesus was angry with them. "Let them come to me. Don't stop the children from coming to me, because the kingdom of God belongs to them, belong to people such as they are." So a person who is approachable, a person who doesn't intimidate, a person who is welcoming all, a person whose heart goes out to the sick, to the weak, and to the people who are marginalized, who are pushed to the margin of the society. Jesus, the meek. Jesus, the humble, who doesn't pretend to be somebody, who doesn't show off his power and authority and his divinity. In fact, it is Paul who tells us about this humility of Jesus. In the letter to the Philippians, Paul would say that though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, the death on a cross. So this is Jesus, humble and meek, gentle and humble of heart. And the same Jesus was asking his disciples also to be meek, to be gentle, to be humble, to be simple, not to resist evil. In fact, the entire Sermon on the Mount can be explained as can be presented as an explanation of these Beatitudes. For example, in chapter 5 of Matthew, verses 38 and following, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to anyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. This is an attitude that Jesus expects of his disciples. Be meek, be gentle, don't fight, don't resist evil, don't return evil for evil, not an eye for an eye, and not a tooth for a tooth. Forgive, be ready to accept the other, be ready to forgive and love the enemies. So this meekness and humility of heart is presented as a quality expected of the disciple. And what does Jesus promise? Jesus promises that they will inherit the land. And what does this land mean? It's not any material well-being. Of course, the background of the psalm would think about the promised land. The land was that promised to Abraham. The promised land to which the people of Israel were led through the Exodus. At the promised land which they conquered in the time of Joshua, and which they lost during the exile, and they came back. So the land somehow presents as the promised land, but in the course of time, and especially in the New Testament, the land is no more a material, physical place. It is the grace of God. It is the totality, sum total of all that God is giving. The spiritual benefit, the spiritual inheritance. What God is giving, that is what Jesus explains as the kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The same idea is presented here as the land. The land stands for kingdom. And the land is given as an inheritance. It's not something that you take by force. It's not something that you merit by your good deeds. It is more. It is a gift. A gift given by the Father. You inherit from your parents. That is not something that you earn. It is something given. And the kingdom of God is a gift that God is giving. And Jesus is telling, who can receive this kingdom? Who can experience this grace of God, the total accepting, giving, forgiving love of God? In order to experience this kingdom as an inner reality, an interior reality, also as something growing in the midst of the society, one should have this meekness, this humility of heart. And the meekness of heart or the humility is a gift, rather a fruit of the work of the Holy Spirit. In the letter to the Galatians, St. Paul speaks about the fruits of the Spirit. After narrating the fruits, the work of the body and flesh, Paul speaks about the fruits of the Spirit. And that we have in the letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Gentleness or meekness is a fruit of the work of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit works in the individual, the person becomes meek, becomes gentle. He doesn't boast of anything. He doesn't show off his power. He is happy to be like a child. A person becomes approachable, gentle, polite, humble in all the spheres of his life. Unfortunately, we think that meekness is weakness. A person who is humble and gentle is often considered as a weak person. In fact, meekness is not at all weakness. We saw Jesus. We see Jesus in various contexts. Even though he called himself as meek and humble of heart, We know that he can be angry or wrathful. For example, in the synagogue of Capernaum, when Jesus met with the indifference of the Pharisaic leaders, he was full of wrath. When Jesus saw that the leaders did not respond to his question, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill, they were silent. The context we know is the Sabbath service. Jesus notices a person with a withered hand and he wants to heal that person. But before that, he puts this question, is it lawful to do such a thing? And when the lawyers, the leaders were silent, he looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the men, stretch out your hand. Meekness can be strong. Only the strong and courageous can be meek. It should not be compared with, it should not be confused with weakness. The same thing happens when Jesus comes to Jerusalem. He enters the temple in the midst of shouting Hosanna. And there he finds his house, the house of his father, desecrated by robbers, by thieves, by merchants. And there he makes a whip out of cords and chases all those merchants out. There we can see the gentle and meek Jesus taking such a courageous step. Only the courageous can be meek. The same thing what should be in our lives also. Meekness does not mean surrendering, succumbing to insolent might. Meekness does not mean total surrender before injustice. Cowardice is not meekness. The courageous only can become meek. And that's what our father of the nations, Mahatma Gandhi, called and taught Ahimsa. When he stood up against the mighty British Empire and was ready to risk everything, but not taking up arms. Ahimsa, the non-violent resistance. That's what meekness tells us. That's how Jesus asks us to be. And this needs a conversion. This demands a total conversion of our hearts. We are used to insolent might, showing off our power, be it on the individual level, by showing off all whatever you have, of might, of wealth, of luxury. It can be also on the national, international, global level. Arrogance, aggressiveness. These are just the contrary of what Jesus is telling. Meekness is not aggressive. Meekness is not arrogant. Meekness does not boast of the power. Meekness does not rest on the power of arms and weapons. A meek person is a courageous person, a person approachable to all, a person who puts his trust entirely in God, who accepts all, who is ready to forgive, who is ready to love, a person approachable. And such person will inherit the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God, God's love, God's justice, God's peace will reign in his heart. And from his heart, this will spread to other hearts. So the meek shall inherit the land, inherit the kingdom of God. The meek will be the center of attention. They will be the focus around which the kingdom will develop. Let us pray that such a meekness be given us, that we experience God's kingdom as the land we inherit from God's mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending us your Son as a model, example for us to imitate, model of meekness and humility, humble and gentle of heart. Jesus Christ, enable us to be meek and gentle and humble like you are, not succumbing to insolent might, not becoming cowards in front of injustice and oppression, but standing up with gentleness, meekness, firmness, and courage. For the kingdom of God, enable us to experience your peace in our heart, in our society. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.